John chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that we can come and we can enjoy your presence. We can come and we can laugh and we have joy in our hearts. And again, when we look around the world, we see nothing but heartache and sorrow. That's all the world has to offer. But dear Father, you have eternal life to offer. You have peace and joy to give. All we need to do is come and believe. Father, please today, in proclaiming the word, have everyone that is here have ears to you, that the Spirit can speak to all of our hearts. Those who do not know you as a Savior, that they'll come. Today is the day of salvation. Those that do know you, Father, that we can grow and learn and be stronger each and every day. Give us that peace and that joy that we need in this world that just is nothing but turmoil and becoming more and more ungodly. And yet in a world as that, we can still possess, have your joy, and have your peace to walk each day with you. So please, guide and lead us now as we enjoy this word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In just a little bit of review, we looked at this verse 41 is kind of a break in the action between verse 40 and verse 41. These Jews that we're speaking of here appears to be the Jews from the synagogue and they have come out at Capernaum. They've come to question the Lord, and they have not come to believe. They've just come to seek possibly more miracles, things of that sort. And in doing so, why we find that the murmuring begins, and so they questioned. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And then we go into the next little section there because they couldn't imagine that this man, the Lord Jesus, being God, but they still couldn't imagine that he was of any value. He was of the son of Mary and Joseph, as far as they could tell. The Lord Jesus was born illegitimate because they weren't married at the time. They look at all those things, all the things of the world, and they made it very clear, we know your mother and father. We know who you are. And so you're a fake, a phony. That's what they were proclaiming. And they asked this question, how is it not this Mary and Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Remember last week we talked about that they had no desire for a Savior. They wanted a king. They wanted someone that came with authority and with royalty and with power. And we found that the folks that seemed to follow after the Lord Jesus as a whole were just poor folks, what they would call at this time peasants. Those that were following very close to the Lord Jesus, many of them were fishermen, which was to them kind of a lower class of people. And then on top of the fishermen, we even had tax collectors that was coming to listen. And they were appalled by this. so many times in our churches today when someone comes in and they're not maybe dressed the way a person thinks they should be, or they're not as clean as they should be, it's very easy for folks to look down your nose upon them. And that is very common today. And my dear friend, they need Jesus. If they know the Lord Jesus, maybe they haven't had the advantages that I have had, or that you have had, to have what is nice. And it's always been a joy here that you as a family, you have always invited and welcomed anyone to come in, no matter who they are or where they're from. They need to hear the gospel, or if they're saved, they need to be lifted up and comforted. And we should always be that way. And that has not been the case many times in many churches. They are, again, looked down upon. The Lord Jesus surely did not look down on anyone, no matter what their lifestyle was, who they were, what nationality they were, what color their skin was. It didn't matter. All you need to do is come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to follow that example. And it shows us once again, as we're reminded many times, the Lord Jesus does not need to hear the conversation that's going on. He said, therefore answered and said to them, "Why murmur amongst yourselves?" They were off to the side. Jesus wasn't part of that. He couldn't physically hear him, I don't believe, but he knew exactly what they were talking about and exactly what they were murmuring over. And they would not believe. They believed he was an imposter. But Jesus knew the heart. The real reason that these people refused to come, I mean, yes, they were born in sin, But they did not need this man. They did not need the Lord Jesus. Why didn't they need the Lord Jesus? It's because they were the descendants of Abraham. They had everything that they needed. They had their religion, and they were of the descendants of Abraham. They were of the family of Abraham. We don't need anything more than that. That's what they believed. They followed the law. They followed the letter of the law. And they lived it to the best of their ability. And being born of Abraham and having God's law in their hands, they were offering sacrifices. They were doing everything. What more did they need? The sad thing is that they were going about establishing their own righteousness. Some things never change, do they? Today, people still go about to establish their own righteousness. These folks believed they were born righteous because of the connection of Abraham. They don't need a Savior. Man as a whole loves to think that they can save themselves. Many folks believe that they're going to heaven because of their works. They're willing to join any cult, any church name. They're willing to work. They're willing to do almost anything. They're willing to give. They're willing to almost give their life to an organization or a church. But they're not willing to humble themselves and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for their Savior. They just refuse to do that. Men like to think they have the power within themselves for their own salvation. And in our lifetime, we have seen that kind of being transferred over to, we don't even believe there's a hell. And so if there's no hell then, and see, the devil just continues to move his direction, and his sole purpose is to take you to hell with him. I mean, that's what he wants. That's his goal. But he uses the basic same plan, but he changes just a little bit some of the plays. And so if people are deciding that maybe this thing with the Jews being the seed of Abraham, maybe that's not working. And so let's try to see, can you work your way there? Well, that works for a while. Now let's try to believe just there is no God. Let's try that. Let's see if there is no God. That'll work for a while. All these things the devil just continues to bring out onto mankind, and somebody bites. Somebody takes that in and believes it and then runs with it. Where do you think the whole theory of evolution came from? Where we need to understand that all this, where do you think that the movement that we can abort a baby is not murder? Where'd that come from? That come from the devil. We need to, our purpose of our children is that we raise them up to love the Lord and to know the Lord, that they will raise their children to love the Lord and know the Lord, and they themselves will reach each one of their generations. Now, you can sit and say that, boy, and I can stand here and say, boy, that's I don't know how well that's going. In many of our cases, we're the first generation that it started. And the Scripture is very clear that wickedness seems to follow after a few generations. And as we well know, our children and our grandchildren, they catch on to what they shouldn't do a lot faster than they catch on to what they should do. Well, when we raise our children, and maybe we missed the opportunity of raising our children knowing the Lord Jesus because we didn't know the Lord Jesus. But if we did and we begin to teach them, they have the influence of grandma and grandpa, and if that influence is not a godly influence, it seems that they will pick that up and begin to follow after other religions or believe there is no God. We have all the schools today teaching in humanism, and there basically is no God. And so when we have all those things against us, do you understand the principle of our children is to reach their generation for Jesus? That's the purpose of our children. Not to be a successful doctor, not to be a successful lawyer, not to be a great success in this world, but to reach their generation for Jesus. Now, they may do that being a preacher, they may be a missionary, they may be an evangelist, and they may be that missionary at their work. Wherever you are, you've got a mission field. But that's to reach your generation. We're to reach our generation. Our children should be taught to reach their generation. Why is the devil trying so hard to destroy our children? Why is the devil so pleased with abortion and killing off babies? Because he is losing one, because the devil knows that child, when he dies, goes to heaven. When that child, that little baby or little boy or little girl is aborted, that child goes to heaven. The devil knows that. But he doesn't want to raise up another great evangelist that wins thousands. Let's kill him now. Let's kill him now. The devil's after our children. Don't let him have them. Don't let him have your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. We need to stand and look to the Lord Jesus Christ for power, because man teaches that salvation is something they can have upon their own. Again, they live, they work, they do everything their own, but they refuse to humble themselves and invite the Lord Jesus to come in to save them. They are hopeless and helpless and hell-bound sinners without Jesus. Everybody is in that condition. Not willing to call out, not willing to cry out unto the Lord Jesus. Not willing to receive his precious shed blood for their salvation. Not willing to believe in the finished work of salvation that he gives us. So few are saved today because they refuse to hear the word. They refuse to hear the word. The word must be spoken. They hear it, they listen to it, but to the physical side. They don't look to a spiritual side in the need of salvation. The Holy Spirit must convict. And when the Holy Spirit convicts the heart, there is a time of being uncomfortable. We've enjoyed folks to come and they'll sit and they'll listen for a while. And then you hear that they have went to another church somewhere, and you'll hear a most saddening statement. And that statement is that they are so comfortable there. They didn't get saved. I'm glad they weren't comfortable here. I wish they'd have stayed long enough to ask Jesus into their heart, because then they'd have been comfortable and there'd have been joy there. But when you come into the house of God and the Holy Spirit is present and the heart is touched, you're lost, you're going to be uncomfortable. Well, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to trust in Jesus, or are you going to run away? You can find a place where you can be comfortable. This world's full of so-called churches, I call them organizations, that you can go to and sit and be very comfortable. You can whatever you want, you can find it. I promise you, you'll find it somewhere. If you want to work your way to heaven, you'll find a place that does that. But understand, all are hell-bound. Natural man loves darkness. Natural man loves the things of the world. The man, naturally, we do not desire God. We do not desire God. We do not seek after God. The Holy Spirit is sent into the world to reprove, rebuke. The Holy Spirit is sent into the world to draw men to Jesus. And if they will hear the Word of God and allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to draw them, they will be saved. But it comes from that work. What a very humbling and very disturbing statement. Man does not want God. Man has no desire for God. None whatsoever. Man believes that he can live as he pleases, do as he pleases, repent when he wants to, believe when he pleases, and be saved when he wants to. This is man's idea, not God's. If you are not saved today, don't think for a minute that you can be saved tomorrow. Don't for a minute. And it may be too late for you to be saved today. I don't know. That's how critical it is to ask Jesus into your heart. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart right now, trust in Him. Believe in Him. Because it is not your option. It's the calling of God upon your heart. And when that calling ends, your chances of salvation are over. Jonah, still in the belly of the fish. Still in the belly of the fish. I shared this morning that in studying the different areas of the Scripture, it's something how they all come together. And we talked about Jonah in Luke this morning in Sunday school, and I had already written down a quote from Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, for a statement that Jonah made. He is still in the belly of the fish. It's right before he gets vomited onto dry ground. And they've, you know, said for years, you hear some of the preachers, you know, what would you do? Wouldn't you repent if you witnessed this man being hurled out of the mouth of this fish, lands on dry ground, he's got seaweed wrapped around him, bleached completely white? What would you do when he says, God's going to judge you? You're going to be destroyed in 40 days. What would you do? Maybe I need to change my clothes. Have a little different appearance here. Before Jonah went through that, before that happened, right before that happened, Jonah makes a powerful statement. But it's a statement with more truth that covers the whole Scripture. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. That's what he said. Yep. Salvation is not of man. Salvation is of the Lord. Men try to make stuff up. Men try to work through it. But salvation is of the Lord. And about that time, here come Jonah. Here he came. He had to get to that place where he acknowledged that it wasn't his work, it wasn't any of man's work, but it was the Lord's work that brought salvation. And when he made that statement, salvation is of the Lord, and immediately he was sent out of that fish. Man's will is not the will of God. Man's will is found back in Mark chapter 7. We've got a few verses of scripture that we're going to look up in Mark and then over back into the earlier part of John and then to Romans. And so please get your Bibles opened here and warmed up. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 7 and we're going to read from verse 21 through verse 23. This is man's will. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's what's inside of us. That's what we have without Jesus. That's all we have without Jesus. Man cannot come to God because he does not have the will to come. You can't choose when you're going to be saved. God may call you for years. God may call you once. But when he calls, you better come. Because it is not your option. It is not your doing. It's not your choice. It's God's calling you. And you need to respond. But that call is not eternal. That call may not be there when you're getting ready to take your last breath before you die. It might be. Many people are saved right there on their deathbed. I don't have to question that. I know they are. But are you going to be one that has that opportunity? That's the reason God tells us so clear in his word, today is the day of salvation. How many times do we repeat that? Today is the day of salvation. Let's look back in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him. All this is speaking of the Lord Jesus. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, speaking of the Jews. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look at that second, that 12th verse there. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Where's salvation come from? From our God. Verse 13, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Where's our salvation come from? It comes from our God. God gives the power when we do the receiving. That's all we need to do is receive him when he calls. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. All these are exciting verses of scripture. Romans chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 13. A lot of times we read from verse 8 or 9 through 13. Today we're going to start with verse 13 and read down through verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where's our salvation come from? It comes from our God. How do we get saved? By hearing the word of God. You want somebody to be saved? Give them the word of God. It's so clear and so simple. I read an example and I thought it was wonderful, because sometimes when you're visiting with somebody and the door is open, or it seems to be open, and you have the opportunity to tell them just a little bit about your Lord Jesus, and you want them to be saved, and so you begin to talk to them, but they just doesn't seem like that they want to listen. You can tell there's a wall there, and so you just patiently wait and kind of back away, maybe visit about something else, and then hopefully and prayerfully another opportunity will arise, and you'll be able to give the gospel to them, tell them about the saving power of Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But you know, many times the opposite happens. When you begin to tell people and tell a person about the Lord Jesus, maybe somebody comes to church and maybe they're here for the first time. They didn't come looking for salvation. Many of you folks have experienced that. You come not knowing why you came, but you come. After the fact, after salvation comes into your heart, then you, now I know why I came. But before, you really don't know why you've come. You're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You're not pleading with somebody for salvation. You just come. But when the word is opened up, things have a way of changing. And the example was this, and I thought it was very good. Have you ever not been hungry? Now, maybe that's a question for some, that you're just always hungry. But you're not really hungry. But you come in to the house, maybe visiting somebody, and all of a sudden you smell something cooking in the oven. Oh, you know, I think mostly like a Thanksgiving or something like that. You can smell that turkey and the dressing and the noodles and just all that wonderful aroma. I don't care how not hungry, how full you are when you enter into that house, it's not too long you become hungry. And you said, no, I've just eaten. Oh, the longer you're there, maybe just a little. You know, I'll sit and I'll just eat a little with you. You just can't resist. Well, our precious word, God's precious word, does the same thing. You may not come hungry. You may not come looking for a Savior. But we proclaim the word. And that's our hope with the radio ministry. That's our hope with the website. That's our hope when we hand out swords or give somebody a feature. When we hand that out, our hope and our prayer is that when they look at that word, even though they weren't hungry, maybe they didn't even want the sword. Maybe when they said, well, turn that radio on, but I'm not going to listen. But when the word is proclaimed, it's just like our senses, we begin to, oh, that smells good. You know, I wasn't really hungry, but I'm getting hungry. Well, that's exactly the same thing that can take place to the heart of a lost person when we proclaim the word. You proclaim the word and let the Holy Spirit start touching on those senses, start dealing with that old wicked, old empty heart. Just let the word of God go. Let it have its power. Saved by the power of God. And so please realize that when you proclaim that word, they may not eat. but later they may become hungry and begin to seek. I know before I was saved, I was given the Word of God for months. Months. I read the Word, studied the Word, and repeated the Word. But you see, I didn't know I needed a Savior. I was in church. I was active in church. I have everything I need. But because the Word continued to make me more and more thirsty, more and more hungry, finally, I said, give me that bread. And what's that scripture say when we get to the, I am the bread of life? That is a powerful statement. Because I chose, finally, to eat, to believe. It come from the giving of the Word of God. And we must see that. We must understand. Verse 44 tells us, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up the last day. The resurrection is the completion of salvation. We're saved by grace, raised by His mighty power. We need to know He's the Alpha and the Omega, the author, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our salvation. He gives us everything. But we need to understand very clearly that it is God's calling. Our purpose is to tell people, give people, our families, our friends, our neighbors, give them in some means or some way the Word of God. Because only by hearing the Word of God can salvation come. No one can ever nor will ever be saved without hearing the Word of God. Now there are folks out in the center of Africa. God knows the heart, and if they look up into the sun or up into the moon, and they just realize that they can't look at the creation around. There has got to be someone that has made all this. And they recognize His power and how small and weak that we are. God will send a messenger to give the gospel to them. He will send someone so they can hear the Word of God. There is not one person that's ever lived that has not had an opportunity of salvation. I don't care where they lived. I don't care whether they understood a language or not. God will send a messenger for them to be saved. But it's God's Word that does it. Salvation is not of man. Salvation is of God and Him only. Trust in His precious Word today and be saved. Let's close with prayer. Father, it's a joy to preach Your Word. It's such a joy to learn what should be to us such simple things to understand. Yes, You're the only means of salvation, but the world, Father, has forgotten that. The world does not teach that. And we even forget from time to time because we believe that we have some inner power. That whenever we choose, we can be saved. That's not so. Salvation comes from You. Dear Father, You have sent Your Son. And by Your Son's willingness to be obedient to You, came to the cross of Calvary. And Jesus died on that cross. And he rose again 3 days later, completing it, victory. Sins forgiven. Eternal life is purchased. And all we need to do is believe. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, saves. Listen to the Holy Spirit today. Father, have them to listen. Whoever is here, listen to the Holy Spirit today. Whatever the need is, just that we surrender to that need. We come to your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.